Hello and welcome to episode 69 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa, and we have a special guest with us as well, former Boilermaker defensive standout and Big Ten Network analyst Ray Fell Davis back on the pod. Ray, thank you for hopping back on with us, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. I can't complain. I appreciate you guys having me back on. Talk hoop again.
Appreciate you coming out, man.
No
It's
doubt.
that wonderful time of year where hoops is going on all, about anytime you turn on the TV right now, you can find some. But Ray, before we get into talking about Purdue hoops, man, I gotta ask you about your boy Andy Katz and these preseason he had out there, man. Like, when you see those, do you reach out to him and be like, man, where did you get these from?
No, actually, some of them I help him with. Like
Wow.
he runs some of them by me, and I give him my opinion. I may not, but no, I think everybody thinks Andy is doing hot takes. You know what I mean? Just kind of like doing stuff for engagement. But I mean, I strongly feel he believes everything he says. Like he may forget, and too, I think people gotta realize too. Like Andy, he works every single conference, so he may forget a guy here and there, but like. I really think he feels after watching the exhibition, because and two, I'm aware that some of the lists he makes, they just get put out later. Like, because you will notice like some of the suits in some of the videos may be the same suit from 2 months ago. So like especially like the Big Ten list, like I know he made his Big Ten list, his Big Ten specific list, he made that a couple months ago. But
Okay.
where it comes to his March Madness list, he just made that last week after the exhibition games. You get what I'm saying? So like a lot of it, you got to look at it like that too. So and then when it comes to like, I know a lot of people were mad at like, they were mad at his like, for example, even Fletcher off the 3-point list. And I agree. Like Fletcher should definitely be on the list. But in fairness to Andy, he's looking at dudes that shooting 8-9 a game, and he may look at 36% on 7-8 threes a game as good. You know what I mean? Instead of, it's just a different way. He may look at what somebody does off the bounce and getting into a jumper and kind of how they play, and you know what I mean? So it just
It takes
it
more into
was yeah,
consideration.
it's just a little different of how he looks at the game. 'Cause even watching it with him for 5 years, he just watches it differently from me. And I think some of it but I think he really thinks after that St. John's, 'cause I mean, St. John's is St. John's, Kentucky's Kentucky. And I know it's early, I know it's exhibition, but Yaxel played really, 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 really good against a top-ranked team, and Braden struggled against Kentucky. So if you take that into consideration, where we are right now, you know what I mean? I think that's why he made that decision. So, I mean, that's my guy. That's my OG. I never got to say nothing bad about Andy.
Yeah, I just had to bring that up, man, because the Fletch one specifically, I was like, come
Oh
on,
yeah,
man.
the Fletcher one was crazy. The
That was
Fletcher one was crazy.
outlandish.
It
That
was
was
outlandish.
outlandish,
But
man. I'll
again,
say.
too, the way he looks at it, it's like he looking at dudes that shooting 8-9 a game and on 35% into to the eye, that's fun to watch. You know what I'm saying? Like
Right.
it just nah, but Fletcher is definitely I mean, he probably top two, not two shooters in the country, in my opinion.
Right. I saw that one. I was like, "That's okay." Let me close my phone before I heat
That's
up. And
funny.
then I know Ben started to heat up already. So,
That's funny. That's hilarious.
but man, obviously everybody's excited. There's hype around this team right now, and when I say this team specifically, the Purdue team. I kind of wanted to get your thoughts because I feel like it's pretty interesting, with the number one target on their back, with all of these high goals that this team has, and to like Payne's credit and to the guys' credit, they haven't run away from that at all. They've kind of embraced it almost, saying that those are our goals as well. Just kind of from like a former player's standpoint, that's got to be pretty cool to see when like a team says, yeah, we know we're legit, and we're embracing this ranking and these lofty goals there.
I mean, it was, I ain't gonna lie to you, it was surprising to see Paint come out and be like, this is his best chance for a national championship. Because one, I don't even believe that. But two, to see him embrace that, it's like, that's pretty cool to me to see, like, they're kind of not past what he was normal, what he would normally have as a goal at the beginning of the season, but it's cool to see the program where it is. I can remember being in the locker room and it's win the Big Ten, win the Big Ten tournament. It's win the Thanksgiving tournament. It's win the Big Ten. It's win the Big Ten tournament. It's get to the NCAAs, and then it's go. You know what I mean? It's steps. But mm-hmm. to see him go all the way through, I mean, he must be, I mean, overly confident with this group. And then to see this group, a team that had guys a part of it that lost to that, the 15, 16 seed or whatever, to see those guys, like, embrace it that we can win a national championship, I think it's cool. I think it's cool, but I do think that when you do have those type of expectations, when you do have those type of lofty goals and that's what you're going out for every night, I remember a couple years ago when Paint said, this is what makes it Zach and those dudes when they lost in the Big Ten tournament. I mean, he kind of gave him an excuse. And he said, these dudes were just so ready to get to the tournament. They were so ready that they looked over the Big Ten tournament. To me, that's bogus. Mm-hmm. Because to me, that's stupid. Because it's like, you can't look over it. Because that's what happens last night. You look over Oakland, or you look over Evansville on the glass, and then it gets you. You know what I mean? So, like, you could look over the Big Ten tournament, and then Wisconsin beats you and sends you home. And then you do have a great run to the national championship, but you could also win the Big Ten tournament. Right. So, it's like, I don't think they should be to the point where, I mean, like, honestly, to me, in my opinion, this is my opinion, until the second half of last night, all the as a collective, just as a unit, it was a disinterested group. Like, from the Kentucky exhibition, the UND, the Evansville, the first half of Oakland, it looked like we're above this in a point. Like, dude's not guarding, dude's not rebounding, dude's not fighting. Like, it's just like, oh, we here, we gonna win. These games not important until we get to the tournament. And that can't be the mindset. So I think it's gotta be a balance. It's gotta be a balance that these games matter, but we do have a goal to win a national championship. I think it's one of those things where you just gotta toe that line.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And, you know, I do think you're right to a point, like, and it's just weird to see, like, a Purdue team get, you know, out hustled and out efforted. You know, it did kind of just feel like it was games where they would show up and just win, which you don't really see from a Purdue team like that.
No, it's soft. I think it's extremely soft. I think coach had to have some. I think it's November 7th, and coach shouldn't be having no hard talks at halftime. You know what I mean? Like, right. We should not be having fun watching the game November 7th. You know what I mean? So, I think Braden woke up last night in the second half, and he's got to be that every night. Like, I don't think I was saying that this summer, like, for Purdue to be at his best, I mean, even when you do have Trey every night, you got to have 17 out of Braden every night. Like, that big three, when you think of Braden, Fletcher, and Trey, they got to average 50 points a game. Like, right. they got to, Trey get his 20.
Yeah.
And then Braden get his, you know what I mean? They got to average 50, 60. Like, they got to.
They still have to do what they did last year.
They have to. No, they have to do more. They didn't do enough. Like, they didn't do enough last year. They lost. Like, right. to me, last year, they came in the season, preseason favorite, woo-woo-woo, should have won the Big Ten. Then they had that skid. And, I mean, to me, saying that you were a shot away from beating a team that went to the championship, that's not – you don't get credit for that. You lost. So it's right. Like, Braden has got to be a guy this season that it can't be and it was incredible. So let me say that first. His performance against Houston was incredible. But you got to score the ball for this team. 15 assists is beautiful. 15 assists, no turnovers. It is amazing. But you got to go 15 points too. Right. That's just what this team needs. Like, they need all three of those dudes to play well every night. And then they need a surprise guy. They need a dude that's just going to have a night like Jakari or have a night. But those three, they can't take nights off, especially in the play hard categories, because it starts with them. And if your leaders aren't playing hard, if your leaders aren't hustling, if your leaders aren't getting back on defense, you can't tell Omar May or nothing because you're not doing it. So it just starts at the top. So I think that second half last night, I think the guys woke up, and I think it was the perfect time for them to do it, because the way they were playing, the first the Alabama looked scary the way they were playing, in my opinion.
Right. I think we all agree with that, especially like on the defensive glass. They play like that against Alabama. That's not gonna go well. I got a question for you though. You said that Payne came out earlier this year, and he said that this is his best. This is the team he thinks has the best shot to win national championship, and you disagree. Who do you think was better equipped?
I mean, we can we. I mean, if this was, I mean, wow, this is gonna suck. But maybe okay. Let me preface this again. I like that because I gotta preface things because people are sensitive sometimes nowadays. But
Maybe on your head, yeah, man. Provide the time. Yo, good.
but I will say, is I guess that time in my life, I was a high school kid. I was really wrapped into it. I was committed for a few years, so I became a recruit to a fan. But I mean, that 2010 team had three NBA players with a two-time Defensive Player of the Year. And a senior captain that had been the MVP of the team before. Like Keaton Grant, people forget that the Babies Boilers, I believe their freshman year, Keaton Grant was the MVP of that team.
Yeah, I remember that.
So
He's a junior.
you know what I mean. And then even that, you go to that next year, like they came into that next year as top number two in the country. I know it's not number one, but they were if there was to if Payton was where he is at in his career right now, they'd have been number one in the country. It's just how it is. It's just how it is. Like you had coming into the year, you had three NBA players. Lou Jack had just made all freshman. Kelsey Barlow ended up making all freshman on that team. I mean, I don't, to me, coming into a season, I think you go on paper. Though, I mean, how do I say this? I mean, these dudes don't care. Some of the dudes are sensitive, some dudes not. But like, they don't have a Chris Kramer on this team. They don't have a Keaton Grant on this team. They don't have a Lewis Jackson on this team. They don't have a Ryan Smith on this team. You know what I mean? They don't have a DJ Bird. They don't have a those Kelsey Barlow, those other guys. And the guys they do have just happen to be younger. You know what I'm saying? They just happen to be pups. They just got to grow into it. But I think those, but I do think those do. And I think too, I just think that you play 3-on-3. This is just me talking stuff and talking shit now. But like you put Juwan Johnson, Etuan Moore, and Robbie Hummel out there, and you play 3-on-3 to 12. I'm going one side, 12 to 2. Come on, man. Like, we can get wrapped up in what we're doing now, but them is three NBA players, like three real NBA draft picks. And that's tough, man. That's tough.
No, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. No,
And
I
then
will.
you even think about, I mean, honestly, I mean, and I'm not comparing teams, but I guess we are, but shit. I mean, PJ Nell. I mean, Dakota, PJ, Vince, Carson, Isaac. I mean, I mean, they were number two in the country, number three or something like that. So it's like,
Yeah.
I mean,
Run off that like 20, like a what a 21 game win streak era.
yeah. So I mean, Paints had, I know we get wrapped up, but Paints, you put that team on the floor, you put this team on the floor. I'm throwing the ball inside to Isaac every possession. Vince is going to give me a bucket at the four. I mean, Carson at the two. Come on. So I don't know. Payne has had some really, 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 really good teams, and I don't know if people realize it.
No, you're right. And even to like your point, like when we had Vince on, and he still talks about kind of almost like a what if in the tournament when Isaac
Isaac.
got hurt
Oh,
there, like
yeah,
how deep
man.
and how deep that team could have ranked. Because they were loaded at every spot. They had everything
Loaded.
that you need. That team gets slept on a lot.
Man, they were loaded. I mean, they had everything you needed. They had senior leadership. They had a young pup in Carson. I mean, it just was they could play you two different ways. They could put Isaac in, slow it down. They put Matt Harms in. Let's get up and down. I mean, it just was, I mean, it was so loaded that it was a fight on a not a fist fight, but like dudes had to get sent to the bench. Vince has to spend some time coming off the bench. Isaac spent some time coming off the bench. Like, I mean, Carson spent some time. And then you got Ryan Klein as your eighth ninth. You know what I mean? Like Ryan Klein. And then you go from Ryan Klein that year and watch what Ryan Klein did in that Tennessee game. And it's like sometimes it's not about because we could say all summer, I learned this from a really, really, really good coach, a really Final Four coach. And like he told me, he said, sometimes when media guys go to practice or when coaches talking about practice and they're saying this guy is killing or whatever, this guy's going off or whatever, he's getting better. Sometimes you gotta think about who's guarding that person in practice. Maybe that person that's guarding him just can't guard and they're killing him. But when they get to the games, it's a different story. You know what I mean? So I think that team, when it came to practice every day, like Dakota Klein, like come on, man. Dakota Klein is two. Then you had Carson and PJ fighting. I mean, not even Carson. I mean, I'm sorry. You had Nogel. Nogel's a freshman. This, I mean, that team was deep, man. That team was crazy loaded for sure. Yeah. If Isaac don't go down, I think that team could have won it.
Yeah. No, I think
for sure.
Yeah, when he with Isaac, it just kind of in terms of the way that they ran the offense and the amount of attention he had to throw into the post.
Man.
Yeah, it changes it. Another question I have then is, do you think for this Purdue team this year that they need guys who have to understand that I know Painter's talked about this in the past with other teams about how like not everybody can score. So like you need somebody who's just like, nope, what I'm going to do is like defensively, like I'm going to make sure that I'm the one who's being, you know, in terms of communicating, making sure we're hooked up, like guys who slide in the slots, essentially guys who are like, hey, no, when the ball goes up, I'm trying to go get the ball. Painter will call him like ball getters or whatever, pause as hell. But yeah, do you think that like this team needs to have guys who just who are okay with accepting a different role than maybe even what they were thinking a couple weeks ago? Because, you know, you've seen a few games now, and I think like especially the rebounding piece to me sticks out like biggest. But I guess like you were talking about some of those other teams and how, you know, they don't have a Chris Kramer, they don't have a Keaton Grant, they don't have a Raphael Davis, they don't have a Kelsey Barlow or a Lou Jack. Do you think that that's going to be something that guys are going to kind of have to figure out like more like early in the season in terms of like, all right, look, what I thought I needed to do is not what I need to do. I need to do something else in terms of like really being able to help elevate us to where we want to go.
I think every really good team has somebody crazy on it. I think every good team has that crazy person that you just don't know what you get with him. You know what I mean? Like he may start a fight. He may guard your best player. He may randomly go for 20, but like he's diving on the floor. He's fighting. You know what I'm saying? He's hyping up the team. Like everybody needs that glue. Like the glue holds it together. Like people don't give Grady Eifert enough credit for that Elite 8 team. Like Grady Eifert to me was MVP of that team. Like you needed somebody to hold together Carson and Klein on the same page, but also go out there and do the dirty work. And that was okay with it. And right. Then when you have somebody in that lineup that's okay with it, it just bleeds to the team, especially when it's a senior. So I think, especially when it's a walk-on, like Grady's my favorite. Man, I got a list of favorites, and Grady's on there. But like, I think you need that. You gotta have that on every good team. You gotta have somebody that's gonna go out there and fight and guard. But I do think it's a give and take because, you look how Purdue is recruiting now, and it's not the same. It's not, they don't recruit that anymore. And it's not a knock to it, but now it's more dribble, pass, shoot. It's more offensively inclined. It's more IQ. It's more, how can you fit in this system offensively? So I think when you take some, you got to give, you know what I mean? So I think when paint went so skill set oriented, you lose a little bit of the athleticism that you like. You lose a little bit of the defensive tenacity that you normally might get. You know what I mean? Because you look at it and like some of these dudes have never had to guard, so no, they're not gonna start guarding now. So I think CJ and Jakari are cut from that cloth. I just think they're small guards. I just think both of them are. I mean, they're just small guards, and I just think you need some wings on the perimeter that can reap that. Because I mean, you get to Big Ten play, and you get Ohio State and Devin Royals at the three. You get, and that's, come on. I mean, you got Devin Royal at the three. You got Washington is playing Bryson Tucker at the three. I mean, lineups are getting, I mean, Illinois is playing David Mirkovich at the three. So, I mean, these lineups are really, really big now. So you got to have some size, some athleticism. But if you don't, you got to have some fight. And I just think Purdue's fight, I just think it's got to be better. Like Calvert Chaney sounded so like basic on the halftime show, but it was beautiful because they just got to play harder. And that should be – I was talking to a coach, another Final Four coach, and he was told me he was just shocked at the hustle from the seniors and the juniors, like the upperclassmen, the transition defense, the ball containment, just the little things that – like Fletcher and Braden and Trey Kaufman, like they should be really, really good at transition defense. They've done it for 4 years. They should be good at it by now. You know what I mean? Like, but these first three, I guess, showings, it's been terrible to me. So I think you need that, but I think this team is more built like – I think we were talking about it in the text, and I think this team is built like a Michigan, like from John Beilein days. And, like, even when I watched the games with John Beilein in the green room at the Big Ten last season, it's like he'd even say – he was like, this looks like my Michigan team. Payne is – Payne is going offensive minded. And John Beilein would joke, he would say, you got to get rid of that defensive mindset. You got to get rid of that defense, all that rah, 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 rah. He said, offense, offense, offense. And it's working because they've been really good. So I just think you give something, you take something. This is a part of the game. I know that was a long-winded answer.
Nah, you good.
No, I mean, but you're kind of spot on too. And I mean, even to like your point and last night or against Oakland when, you know, they don't shoot the ball very well at all and they still score 87 points, they also give up 77. So, you know, they are definitely going all in on offense there.
Oh, man, yeah, straight up. But at the end of the day, like I learned this from my coach. My college coach would always tell us the best teams in March that wins are the ones that can guard. Yeah. Then you look at how Purdue improved their season last season. You look at that skid they took, and then you look at how they improved. It was on the defensive end. They started locking up. Like they just started. They started guarding. They started scheming differently. But like if you like Alabama, we saw Mark Sears in Alabama getting 100 every night. But it's like you get to a Final Four, I'm with you. But like if you want to win it, you got to guard. Like you Florida. Like Walter Clay was great, but Florida has some dogs on the wing. You know what I mean? So like if you can guard, you can get a rebound. It's just going to be tough for you.
Yeah. Always think too. Yeah. Like, especially in the tournament, you have to be able to guard because if you're a high powered offense, it's just kind of like the law of averages say that you're going to have one game or part of one game in like a potentially 6-game run where you're not shooting well. And I feel like if you're defending and you're rebounding, that's what buys you time until the shots start falling. Like I think about that. I think about that national championship game of Houston and Florida. And like Houston was kind of choking the life out of Florida, but Florida didn't let Houston get too far away. And as you mentioned, because they had those scrappy wings, and then they had the bigs, dogs who were fighting there in the post and kind of able to make sure, hey, look, we gotta maintain contact. And I want to say that like, what did Florida end up going on like a 12-0 run or something like that to close out the game? Mm-hmm. But I think if Florida's lacking defensively and on the boards, there's not a chance for them to come back because by the time that Clayton starts getting busy again and every other guy start knocking down shots, they're probably down like 20 something. And so you don't, a lot more has to go right for you. But if you're only down, 8 or 10 with, 7 minutes to go, as we all know, like that's manageable. You can knock down a couple shots and then boom, you're right there.
Yep. No, that's facts. No, I mean, that's exactly – I mean, Paint would always say, how can you stay in the game without making shots? And I think that's going to be the name of the game for this team. Like, how can you stay in the game when the ball's not going to the basket? Can you rebound? Can you find – that's what – and I think that's what hurt last year's team is, too. They had they did not find other ways to score outside of just in the half court with the ball screen. Like, you got to find – like you look at Michigan State last season. And this is a good example. Michigan State. I'm telling myself I got a good example. But listen, Michigan State last season won the league by 3 games, right? And they didn't shoot threes at all. But they were dominant on the offensive glass, second chance points. They were dominant in transition on the break, and they were dominant at the free throw line. So they had other ways to score the ball. Purdue, even last night, it got to a point where because they didn't shoot it well, but they still made, I think, like 10, 12 threes or something like that. So it's like, it got to the point where it was like, we're going to make these threes or we're going to lose. It's like, you got to find other ways to win the game. It can't be threes or somebody go for 20. It's got to be, we got to edge on the glass. It's got to be, we get our transition and steal some points. We got to be, get to the free throw line and steal some points. That's got to be kind of like, it can't be just, I think that's what last season was too. It was Trey Kaufman Ring go for 30 or we make a bunch of threes. That's it. I think you got to find other ways to win game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. Ray, I got another one for you because I know a lot of people, especially after this Oakland game, are kind of – I'm not going to say they're panicking, but they're a little uneasy already because that's just the nature of the world that we live in now where if you don't play well in one half, the sky is – falling, but how much do you really take away from these first two games with Trey being out, specifically like rebounding and stuff? Because I know they got a rebound, but you're also missing an All-American there too. So how much do you really take away from these early games?
A lot. Because what if Trey gets two fouls?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'll take a bunch from it, man. Because too, you shouldn't need Trey Crawford-Wren to go get you 12 rebounds against Oakland.
That was my thing, man.
Yeah, like you shouldn't need it. Like you just shouldn't need it. So it's like you still got two
of them not being in there.
Yeah, you got two all-conference guys that's seniors. One of them is National Player of the Year. And then you got Oscar Clef average 17 to 12. Like Liam Murphy knows how to play. You know what I mean? Like Omar Mayer's been a pro for the last few years. So it's like you just gotta be better. So it's like Trey Crawford-Wren wasn't going. And two, Purdue fans say what they want. I can say what I want. Trey's not the greatest rebounder. Like he may go out there and get you 6-7, but it's not like Trey's like Marais Johnson, he's gonna get you 20. You know what I mean? Like we put a lot on that dude sometimes. And then sometimes we don't put enough on him. It's like I think last night showed everybody how important that Trey is and that it is more of a yin and a yang than people give it credit, I guess. Cause I mean, I always will, people get mad at me. People think I'm whatever, but to me, it's like a John Stockton and a Karl Malone. You need both of them. Right. You need both. And it's not like one is superior than the other. Like those are the two guys, and then Fletcher's that third guy, but you need those two guys to be really, really good at all times. But as far as like the hustle plays and the rebounding, that's just gotta be that's a collective effort. And it just was bad last night.
Yeah. I think offensively they missed Trey. You know, you missed Trey more, but
facts.
The rebound piece to me, that's what I've been watching these first couple games is I'm like last year we would talk about how we needed Trey to rebound more, and he would talk about it in games where, you know, he'd have, you know, 20, 25, but like he'd have, you know, 6 rebounds. Yes. So people who are clamoring like, oh, we need to get Trey back to rebound. I'm like, y'all saying this like he was putting up 20 and 15 last year. I'm not saying that to be a dick, but like, yeah, they're making it seem like, nah, he was just cleaning up everything off the glass. And I'm like, that's not it. It's really like it's a strength by numbers thing in terms of rebounding. And you had enough size even without him being in yesterday to where, like, yeah, I still feel like the rebounding performance should have been better. I think it was the first possession of the game where Oakland got like 4 rebounds on the same possession. It's like, come on, man. Like, that has nothing to do with him being there.
They just gotta be a lot better, man. Like, in the far, I think last night I think it's easy. You see a team come in and they just lose by 100, not literally 100, but they just lose by a lot to Michigan. You know what I mean? You think you're better than Michigan. It's like, oh, we're just, I've had those games, like North Florida, Garner Webb. Like, so you have those games where you're just like, all right, we're gonna win. We're gonna go to the bar. What time y'all wanna go to Harry's? So it's like, and then it's 10 minutes to go in the second half. You're like, damn, we still in the game. Like we should be on the bench right now, getting our legs ready. So it's like, I think if last night doesn't wake you up, the practice that Payne is going to have tomorrow is going to wake you up. And then if that don't wake you up, y'all don't want it as bad enough. But I think getting Trey back offensively, it settles everything. And sometimes the best defense is a good offense because it sets your defense. So, and it can keep the team out of transition, and then Trey defensively would have helped some because Jack is great. I love Jack, but he's still a freshman. You know what I mean? So physicality wise, like he's still coming. So But I think I just think that this team could be good. I just think the little things, they just can't be a skill. We gonna step on the floor, score 90, beat you. They gotta be a little tougher, in my opinion. Right.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you, Bray. I got one. Last one, I'm going to put you on the spot. Is this team cutting down the nets in Indy at the end of the year?
Yeah, I got a lot of faith for that. I think I still think like they're still the best constructed team in the country. I think but like I always say, the tournament is about matchups. Like who you getting? Like I thought Houston was a beautiful matchup for those dudes last year. I thought Houston was great. So I just think it's whoever – I just think it's one of those, like, who can you draw? But I think, but again, too, I seriously think this team could win a national championship. And it's not out of line. And I think if they could do the small things, because they're going to do the things that sound crazy, they're going to do easily. Like, they're going to do the things that a normal guy should be able to, they can do it. But if they can do the everyday guy things, like the small things, like the things that you don't want to do as a really good player, I think they'll be they'll win a national championship because they still have 2 first team All-Americans. Fletcher is a pro at an overseas level, probably. I think DJ could be. People say that you need a top 30 pick. It's been no team to not be a, have a top 30 pick, but I think Daniel Jacobson will be a top 30 pick. I think this team could do it. I would be devastated if they don't, especially after everybody already told me it's national championship or bust. I already got my hopes up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the hopium's crazy right now, man, because everyone said that. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, cool. So like, we're all in agreement. We're going to be there in April. All right,
that's what I'm saying. Cool. That's what I'm saying. So we going.
Right. One question I got for you, Ray, just looking at the whole Big Ten conference, who do you see as being like a sleeper, a team that can, like, you know, that can kind of come out of nowhere and make some noise, or just, you know, turn some heads in terms of doing better than expected?
Oh, yeah. Sleepers. I got Washington. Washington, my sleeper. I think what they have is incredible. What Danny Sprinkles put together in year two, I think Steinbach gives them something on the block that's going to be big time for them. That's what I'm saying. They're going 2 7 footers. Like, you got Steinbach, and I think Frank Kepnog, he gives them that edge, that that mean toughness, that like, I don't care, I'm just going to run around and fight and get rebounds. And then Lathan Summerville off the bench, and then I think their guard group and their wing group is one of the best in the conference that's not talked about. Like, I think Bryson Tucker has a chance to be a pro. I mean, Wesley Yates and Desmond Claw, to me, make up, I mean, maybe the best 1-2 backcourt in the conference. I mean, they, both of those dudes averaged 20 a game. Like Wesley Yates averaged 18 a game in conference. I don't think people really, and he shot 47 from three and 50 from the field. And I mean, Desmond Claw, to get you, he's 18, 20 every night. And then Zoom Diallo off the bench. I think JJ Mandiquit, people don't know JJ, but JJ is, he was AJ DeBance's point guard in high school. I mean, he is extremely talented. Just that old, he's like Braden, just an old computer point guard. And then I just think if Washington, if they could make shots, and that says a lot because you got to be able to make shots, but I think they'll be a team that surprised a lot of people because they have the size to rebound and defend at a really high level. It's just going to be about, can they have enough space on the floor offensively, and can they make shots? But I think they're going to get some people this year, especially when people come make that West Coast trip. They're not going to expect Washington to be this talented, I don't think. I think Washington, as a talent aspect on paper, is one of the more talented teams in the conference.
Okay. I didn't realize Wesley Yates left USC and went to Washington. I remember I think he put up like 30 against Purdue last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he did everything from the outside.
Yep.
Pissed me off. I was like, yo, someone cut off his water. Damn. I didn't realize that. That's a good call out though with Washington. I didn't know. Yeah. That's, you got that scoring in the backcourt, and also they have big guards.
Yeah, they got big guard. Like Washington goes 6'6", 6'5", 6'8", 6'11", 7 foot.
Jeez.
Yeah.
that can cause some problems.
We can't get a rebound against Oakland. Come on.
don't say that too loud, man.
But no, I got Washington. I got Washington. I think Michigan, I think it's people don't like when I say it, but I don't think it's like a one and then a two. I think Purdue's 1A, Michigan's 1B. I think Michigan is right there. I think what Purdue gives you offensively, and this is saying a lot because Michigan did just score 100, but I'm taking that as an outlier. But like, what Michigan could do defensively is what Purdue could do offensively. So I just think that's going to you remember the Big Ten tournament last season with Namari Burnett and Riley Gale just took dudes out of games. So I think Michigan and Washington and then Purdue. But if I had to rank it, I would put Purdue, Michigan, and I would put Ohio State in there. And then I would also put Illinois in that top four right now, too.
Okay. Interesting stuff, man. I'm just really happy that Hoops is back, that we can, you know, talk about all of this. And it'll be really fun to watch because Big Ten is really deep this year and be some really fun games. Right. Before we head on out of here, man, I just want to kind of give you the floor. Let us know what's going on with crew life and stuff, man, because I know that's keeping you real busy. So what's going on there?
Nah, man, we got our Thanksgiving break coming up. Thanksgiving break camp coming up on Black Friday. I have about 60, 70 kids in the gym over on the south side where I grew up at Taylor University. Well, the new Summit where Taylor University, my mom went to school, so that's always – that is always cool. We got our Christmas break basketball camp coming up. That's going to be this second week. What is that? The last week of December. We have our youth league coming up in January. We got a 3-on-3 league starting next week. We trying to keep the kids busy, man. We actually taking 60 kids to PFW's basketball game tomorrow. So it's it's a lot of fun, man, being with the kids and hanging out and watching them grow up. Some of these boys and girls, they're seniors now, but they've been with us since sixth grade. So it's it is crazy to honestly, man, to watch these kids grow up. But to see them have aspirations and have goals of things that we've introduced them to, I think that's pretty cool. One of my boys, Shane, my guy Shane, wants to be an engineer. And he tells me all the time, like, I want to be an engineer because all the Purdue trips we took. And to me, that's the point. Because Shane, I love Shane, and like I love his mother and everything, but I don't know if Shane would have knew that path. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
We got little young women wanting to be media people or media personalities or wanting to be pharmacists or dentists. We have a young lady, Harvest, who just lost her father this past spring, but she's a freshman at Bishop Lewis, made the varsity team. So she's going to be a stud. Like, she's going to be a stud basketball-wise. But on the flip side, she's a school ambassador at Lewis, and she has a 4.23 GPA.
Mm.
So it's like, that's the point. Right. You know what I mean? Like, we could hoop. Like, I do free training on Sundays. Like, at the summit, I do free trainings every Sunday for kids. Like, I can get you basketball. We can shoot this ball up and down. But the real thing is this, is like, when you meet, like, when I was 21, I ruptured my disc in my back in China, and it was over. So it's like, you got to prepare them for when, you know what I mean, for real life. And I think we've been able to do a good job these last 5 years, and I'm excited to see where we can take it.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah.
No, man, I appreciate you guys having me on, jumping on, chopping it up. We got to do this a couple of times throughout the season, like checking in and all that. My bad about the I messed up the schedule and all that, but I'm glad we can get it going.
Nah, you good, man. I think it's probably for the best because, you know, I was teed up yesterday, man.
Me too.
I felt like I was one man against the world talking about the importance of these rebounds. So a good night's sleep allowed me to kind of cool down a bit. So we appreciate you hopping on, Ray, for sure. Like you said, trying to have you on a couple more times during the season to kind of, like, you know, different checkpoints to see not only about Purdue but also the conference in general, man. So thanks again for tapping in. Appreciate it, man.
Oh yeah, no doubt. You guys have a good one. Boiler up, baby.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Sure.